depending upon the help of God. I draw your attention this morning to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, reading verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The third chapter of Hebrews, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. As we look upon our text, we can see in our text, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly the apostle and the high priest. And again, as we look within these verse, we find there's a people whom the apostle has spoken of as brethren. It speaks also of an heavenly calling. Everything is in our text this morning for a poor sinner, one chosen from all eternity by God, to be called a brethren and an holy brethren, and everyone has or will receive an heavenly call. And when one has received the heavenly calling, had the heart changed, they will want to consider, as the word is in our text, consider the apostle. In other words, consider Christ Jesus. So, friends, can I say humbly that in our text there's everything that a poor sinner needs. Because the righteousness is in Christ, the blood is in Jesus Christ to cleanse, and the Spirit is one with the Father and the Son to bring His church through the wilderness and teach them and lead them and cleanse them and at last to receive them in that place where He dwelleth. I do feel my need to open this up a little this morning. May it be given. As you know, these words were written by Paul, the apostle. Not just from his own memory or his own pathway that he has walked and knew, but by the leading and teaching, indicting of the third person in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit guided this dear man into these things, that he experienced them, that he was now able to speak of them, to write of them, to this people which we speak of as Hebrews. We'll look at this man for a few minutes. We have been reading again of his writings in the Ephesians, as you know, and how he tells us there the pathway and the things that he had experienced. See if we can have a little dovetailing together with our own experience. You see, as the apostle was writing to these Ephesians, he says, you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I hope each of us present here this morning have been quickened by the Holy Spirit. You have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. We could gather even from the words of our text that he was looking upon such people, for he says, holy brethren. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Well, friends, if we trace line by line through this chapter we have read this morning, I believe, I do sincerely hope, that we should be able to say, yes, I've known that. I've experienced that. That's been wrought into my poor heart. I know in the times past how the Lord has led me about and so forth and granted me a teaching such as to believe, as we have read at this time, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Returning to our text, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers. So Paul, the apostle, could see such fruit in those whom he was writing to, speaking to, that they had passed from death unto life. Partakers, he says, of heavenly calling. This is the essential unto salvation. It's this, as you know, putting it in, should I say, may I use the word as we often do, a nutshell. It's by the new birth. Partakers of the heavenly calling, not an earthly call. The Lord does call his dear people to earthly calls at times, but here the apostle is speaking of an heavenly calling. And he could see in them that they had received the heavenly calling, because he calls them the holy brethren. Let's just dwell here for a moment on this call. Have you been called? You say, well, I've never heard the voice of God. I've never felt he has ever spoken to me. Friends, we don't always hear his voice, but the effect of that voice is a constraining power from heaven upon our spirit, upon our soul. God constrains us to walk in God's ways, and by that experience we've received an heavenly calling. Ye must be born again. Oh, but the many times that you have read it, thought about it, and no doubt you've prayed over it many times, some of you, and have said to you in prayer to your God, have I received an heavenly calling? Am I born of God? Is there something in my heart, in this earthly tabernacle of mine, that is holy? Something that the Lord has implanted? You're ready to say, well, I know there's something in my heart that the Lord has implanted. Because it's sin, and God cannot look upon sin with any degree of allowance. You know very well God hasn't put that there. Friends, it's in your heart, it's in mine, as you know. Every babe that is born into this world, they're still adding that carnal nature. I've said at times, every time a babe is born into this world, it has sin to sin. It does. Everyone born in sin and shaped in iniquity and have come forth from the womb in a very, very sad condition. But to enter into heaven, there must be a change, as you know. And perhaps some of you are inquiring. Perhaps some of you are knocking at a door of mercy day by day. Lord, have I had the change? Is there a favour toward me? Have I been quickened? Have I received a call, which is an heavenly call? And this heavenly call, dear friends, will take such effect upon our hearts that we shall turn away from some of our sins and some of these things that are grieving in the sight of God and brought to grieve in your own mind and heart. Heavenly calling is one of the miracles performed by the Trinity to a poor, undone, ill-deserving sinner. A call from heaven. Heavenly. And friends, everyone, may I say with all reverence and in love, and to honour God, everyone who receives this heavenly calling are monuments, or will be monuments of his grace. And each will be brought to that blessed fountain, open for sin and uncleanness, and eventually taken into glory. Not one of these poor sinners who receive an heavenly calling can possibly be lost. Impossible for such to enter into hell. Can we believe it? Oh, can I hear some poor soul say, the news is too great? Surely it's not for me. Well, let's get a little lower. I do desire to pick up those feel to be out of the way, feeling to be one of these little ones, wondering if you've got anything in your heart at all that is of God. Heavenly calling. Why, these poor sinners, they are brought to know that they are sinners. They are brought to feel it. They are brought to mourn over it as God cast it away. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. For the God shelves. Heavenly calling. Drawn out, as it were. Made to be separate from the world and the things of the world. And in their heart, with this heavenly calling, there's something that causes them to turn their eyes heavenward and have a longing desire in their breast for Christ, for his mercy, for his love, compassion, blood. Yes, this heavenly calling will bring us closer to God. We shall have to turn our steps from the world and the things of it, that is in some measure. And may I say this, often it's a little here and a little there. We never hear of one being cut down as Saul on the way to Damascus. But there's an inward calling, and the work often is very gradual, but it comes to the same end. It leads to the same place. It comes from the Holy Spirit. All heavenly callings come from heaven. and rest upon those whom Jesus Christ died for on Calvary's cross. Partake us then of the heavenly calling. I believe perhaps there's some here this morning and you are deeply concerned about it. What are you looking for then? You say another token. You're looking for a token, it may be. Perhaps you never receive one. And yet in your heart there's deep concern in the matters of eternity. Well, you will have these concerns when you have received an heavenly calling, not before. The world and worldling are in the world and satisfied with the pleasures of the world, the pleasures of sin, but there's a little light shining within now after the heavenly calling, and poor sinners are brought to cry unto God. Heavenly calling. You sung a hymn this morning. The new man and the old by no means can agree. The one in sin is bold, the other from sin the other free. The principles of grace and sin a constant warfare must maintain. We sung that hymn only a few evenings ago. Somewheres where I was trying to speak from a word like this, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And this hymn was sung, a new man and the old, by no means can agree. And how true? Now when one has received this heavenly calling, the heavenly calling will cause a poor sinner to turn his face from the world and the things of it and walk in the paths of righteousness, at least desire to do so, and pray that he might. Heavenly calling. And where is this poor soul brought to when he received an heavenly calling? Well, such as a knowledge of himself, as I've hinted, a knowledge of his heart, old nature, sin within. And it will lead him to a place, the only place, where he knows he can find relief. And that is in the latter part of our text to this Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. Heavenly calling. And this will bring a poor soul to pray. To pray. And his prayer would be possibly far different than what he had prayed before. Oh, how many in the various so-called places of worship, even today, will be saying and asking God to have mercy upon the wretched sinners and so on. But, friends, they know not their sin. They utter the words and they are satisfied. Yes, everything is well and I'll go to heaven. But these people receive the heavenly calling, cannot take it quite like that. These are the people that bow at his feet. These are the people that go about often in secret. These are the people who close their, enter into their closet and shut the door about them and cry unto God. These are the people that bow, earnestly pleading for help and mercy. This is the poor sinner that can walk with the publican. God be merciful to me, a sinner. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his troubles, dear friends. This is the poor soul in the text. Received the heavenly calling, convinced of sin, and long for mercy. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, can't move away for a moment or two from this word, heavenly calling. If we had time and one had the ability, could speak of a number, as you know, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and I trust those whom we've known and loved for the truth's sake have received an heavenly calling. And as I said, you are praying unto God, show me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above, heavenly calling. Oh, friends, there's no way to heaven but through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Heavenly calling, praying souls, longing souls. As the ark parteth after the water brooks, so parteth my soul after thee. Those dear ones that we read of at times, Ruth and Naomi, Ruth pleading in the fields of Boaz and so on. This is the pathway of these people who have received an heavenly calling. Turn their back upon the world and seeking those things that will stand for eternity. It lay with weight upon their heart, upon their conscience, longing for tokens of his love. Heavenly. Oh, I like that word. It's a heavenly call. And each one of these will eventually receive an heavenly calling into that heavenly place where Christ is. Well, look at this viewpoint for a moment. Wherefore, holy brethren. Now, the apostle knew very well that there was nothing in him by nature that was holy. But he could look upon these Hebrews, and he could see something in them that was of grace, holiness. And therefore he could call them a brethren. Wherefore, holy brethren. No small mercy, dear friends, to be able to look upon those that we know and love, shall I say, and be able to speak of them as brethren. The apostle here, he could say, holy. Why? Because he could see the holy seed from heaven had been dropped into their heart, and the fruits that they manifested in body, in their soul, testified that they got something there that was of a holy, holy nature. He could look at them, as we have read in the epistle of the Ephesians this morning. You have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, up now in Christ Jesus. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of himself in of twain one new man, Jesus Christ. And as you will remember, reading this morning concluded like this, ye are no more strangers. This is what the apostle could say to these Hebrews. Hey, ye are no more strangers. You receive the heavenly calling. This fruit manifests. This is a holy nature. Therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Who was it saw or the apostle could write such as this? Because he'd walked through it. Something he'd handled and tasted and felt and known of the work of grace, the heavenly calling. On the way, I believe, to Damascus. And there the poor man was struck down. He heard a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And he received in that journey to Damascus a heavenly calling. Therefore, ye are no more strangers. You are foreigners. You have a holy brethren, says the apostle, as according to our text. Holy brethren. What a mercy it is, dear friends, to be able to speak of friends who gather together in the house of prayer. You could look upon them. You could say they're brethren. And they're holy because the Lord has dealt with them and quickened them into life. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Brethren, did I pass this word by for a moment or two? Brethren, it's good, dear friends, to be able to look upon our friends, especially as we worship together from time to time, and speak of them as brethren. That's much better than complaining about them, speaking evil of them, perhaps saying they do this and they do not, they do things that they should not, and so on. Oh, friends, if we only look within their own hearts, that'll stop our mouth speaking against others. That where there is this seed sown, holiness in the heart, I believe it makes the heart tender. It'll make it sincere. This poor sinner won't be able to in any way despise others or object to the holiness or the word of God. Holy brethren. Holy brethren. Partakers of the heavenly calling. And just a few thoughts this morning respecting this next word. And that is consider. Consider. Our text, I know, speaks, consider the apostle and high priest, Jesus Christ. But well might we consider in the various experiences that we pass through, whether it is of the Lord or whether it's only of the creature. You know, there's such a thing, sort of to say, that we have to say, well, that's the Lord. That's the Lord's will. That's the Lord's voice that I've heard, and he's told me to go this way or that way. But often, my friends, it's one's own thoughts and desires. Oh, how easily we might be left to ourselves. What makes me think of this, because I have heard several of late how they've moved here and there and said it was the Lord. They've heard the voice of God in it. It's always in the same direction and the same thing as what they wanted themselves, the old nature. Now, is it the Lord? I haven't found it such, you know. I haven't. Certain things I've had desired, and yet and I felt I could walk in it, yet the Lord is overthrowing it, and I proved it's not of the Lord, it's only of the creature. Oh, well, we might consider when we, shall I say, move perhaps to another situation, or move to another sanctuary, maybe. How sad it is that these days we finding those leaving one place that they profess to love and joined into another pathway, and think it's the Lord's will. I fail to see it. Wherefore then, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. When we desire a thing, that is, those who receive the heavenly calling, and I trust we know something of it, we desire to commit those things into the hands of God. Consider it in one's own mind and heart, by prayer, to know what the Lord's will is concerning it. Consider it. We are not to take notice what even some, shall I say, near and dear to us say. It's the Lord's will. Lord's will. I fear, perhaps I'm wrong in saying it, but I fear today there's some entering into our courses, into our churches, going through baptism, not directed by the Lord. I'm not hinting, dear friends, upon any who have passed that way of late, far from it. But there are those. And we find them very soon back into the world and the things of it. Oh, how solemn. Well might we consider them. These things, and walking in the house of God, to walk in his commandments, to follow him. You say, well, what is it to follow the Lord? Fall helplessly in his hands. Say, Lord, no will but thine. Guide me. Guide my steps. If I'm to go into this path, then give me an inward persuasion. Constrain me to do it. If it's thy will, give me a word. This is the way, walk ye in it, and so on. I believe I had that word, a word given me when I joined the church. Well, over 50 years ago, where there was a baptizing service at our chapel, and this word at the close of the service came, I believe, from God, because the effect it played upon my spirit. And what was it? What was it? Go thou and do likewise. No thought of speaking thus this morning. I trust there may be a purpose in it. I know not. But consider. You may be sitting still where the Lord has told you to rise. You may be casting these things aside when the Lord is really exercising your heart to do his will and his commandments, to follow him in his statutes and in his commandments. Consider. Don't drop the matter. I know I've spoken of this once or twice in my poor ministry of a dear man who used to worship at Tenterden. And when I visited him on his deathbed, just over 90 he was, and he told me, well, he was grieved to feel that he had not walked in that path of the commandments of God. He said, when I was in my 20s, there was an exercise, there was a concern, but he said, I pushed it off. Now, he said, I've come to my deathbed and I have not obeyed the Lord's will. I have not obeyed what he has spoken or how he has exercised. Dear friends, it's solemn to come on the deathbed with a guilty conscience, to know that you have not done the command of God. Consider that. I know there's many that do cast it one side. I must say, I cannot say, it is essential under salvation. This is obedience to the will of God. The dying thief, as you know, he never passed that way. And there's many who have not. But this is no excuse. It wasn't long ago I was at a certain cause with a very little causes, only a very few there. And I mentioned this to one of the friends. Oh, she said, we haven't been exercised. Lord hasn't laid it upon my mind, so we haven't troubled about it. No church. But that's coming down and down, and last time I went, there's only two there. God's favour will not rest upon such. But why I should say that, I know not. Consider, then, ourselves, our standings in the sight of God. Consider to do his will. Now, there's a constraining power, I believe, in this, for one to follow the Lord. It's a constraining power. You know, the disciples in the storm, and we read previously to that, that the Lord constrained his disciples to go over the sea. Constrained them. There's a constraining power. Without a voice, without hearing the voice of God. Maybe one here this morning, I know not. There's something going on strange in your heart, constraining you, and yet you do not hear his voice. You may turn to the Word, hoping you will find something. Turn the pages over through the Scripture, but know nothing. There's a constraining, and that constraining power comes from heaven, friends. It does. Consider it. God does not always speak. He's often silent. But there's a constraining power known in the heart. And one must feel is constrained to go in that direction, or to constrained to put Christ on in a hope and profession. And at times when you have your heart touched a little, you have to say, come all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Consider. And if we might just mention this, consider the apostle, because it is this Jesus Christ that you desire to honor, do you not? To love him, to speak well of him, and speak of what the Lord hath done for you in the things of grace. Consider this apostle. He's laid it down in his word. Are we not to listen? Are we not to obey the voice of God? Consider there how we stand in the sight of God, whether we've done his commandments, whether it's his will. Wherefore, holy brethren, it is these holy brethren, these are the people who are partakers of the heavenly calling, will consider. The men of the world, the people of the world, they do not consider anything what's in the Scriptures. Do they? But they consider the Word of God at times. Their God, their Savior. So, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers, you say, are you making this excuse? Well, there's no holiness in me. Ah, be careful. Not by you, not by us, by nature, far from it, nothing whatever. But the holiness is of God. What about his righteousness? Think for a moment. Faith you've got in your heart. Is it a sinful faith? No, it's a holy faith that the Lord has given you. It's in the heart. Righteousness. Is it a sinful righteousness? Is it the righteousness of your own? It's the righteousness of Christ. That's holy, pure. You won't find it in the heart of the world. But in these people, as the apostle speaks of in our text, they possess that holy faith, but holy righteousness. There's a seed within the soul that is holy. And from that seed there will be growing fruit. And that fruit is acceptable unto God. It is. So consider every step, whether we ought to take a step forward or whether we ought to be still. Follow on to know the Lord. Follow on to know Him. And God will bless such. Why I should speak, I don't know. There may be a reason for it. But God will bless such. Those who desire to honor Him, He will give them a blessing. He will. You will never regret it. Consider then steps you are taking ere the Lord is leading you. What secret touch He's given you. You go to Him, you ask the Lord, Lord, is it a thing? Or is it only a creature? Is it by Thy grace, and according to Thy love, and according to Thy will, that I am in this position, or in this exercise of soul, not knowing what to do? The Lord will clear the matter up, dear friends. He will. Yes. You say, well, I haven't received the forgiveness of sin. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that He shed His blood, but thou shalt say for me. Your thoughts may be, well, what can I say? I'm such a poor, vile sinner. Can you get lower than the publican? Can you get lower than a poor sinner as cry out this? Remember me, Lord. Have mercy upon me, Lord. I'm a sinner. Well, friends, I must leave it. My strength seems to be failing me. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, oh, may the Lord assure us that we are numbered among this. These heavenly people, brethren, I've thought sometimes, reading this word, sometimes in the house of God, if the Apostle Paul was here, would he look upon me as being the holy brethren, or amongst the holy brethren? The one has received the heavenly calling. I look back over my life. There seems to be nothing but sin, 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 from the beginning to the end. But, friends, if there's a spark, just a spark of heavenly dew in one's soul, that poor sinner is numbered among this brethren, the holy brethren that Paul speaks of it. Amen.